The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents ReconCast, a podcast where two homeschool dads share the applications of faith in everyday family life.
ReconCast, Episode 9. Hello, everyone. Welcome to ReconCast, just a couple of homeschool dads talking about recovering the faith for all of life. I am Joe Graham, homeschool father of 8. Joining me is my co-host, Dan Sahosky, homeschool father of 5. We are out here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, raising our families, defending liberty and justice against the overrun of humanism and the secular state. We got a really great show for everyone today. We got Joel Riles from Junichos Canine. He did an interview with us when we were back at the father-son retreat. It's going to be really, really good. But before we get into all that, I'm going to bring in my lovely co-host, Mr. Dan Sahosky. Dan, sir, how are you doing?
Well, good evening, Mr. Joe. Thanks for that lovely introduction. I mean, that's not very often I get introduced that way. It kind of meant a lot to me.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's my pleasure, man. We haven't done a recon cast here in a while. So, man, how have you guys been? You guys are back. You guys are back.
Yeah, that's right. We're all back in the Northwest, and we are loving it back here. Oh, the air is fresh and clean. Although life out in Ohio was nice. It was a little simpler. It was, just a wonderful, wonderful time. And we are back.
Dude, super glad to have you.
Yeah. Well, we took a trip back there and, in a future episode, I think we're going to recap a little bit about what we did, with our family and, around neurodevelopment and what all that is and why it's important. But we are just so blessed to have been able to do that. It was extremely valuable. I think round trip from door to door, from when we left to when we came home, it was just shy of 3 months. So you can imagine, as an extreme dad and father of 5 children and a wife who's expecting, there's a lot going on there. But we had a great time and just grew a lot through all that. So blessed to be back and blessed to have been able to do that experience.
Yeah, no, I know that it was pretty impressive. Just the idea of you guys, moving your whole family there to Ohio so you guys could do that, to help your kids out. And then at the same time trying to come back here to continue working in Washington, it was pretty impressive. But what I thought was super impressive too, and this is kind of a little bit off topic a little bit, but it was the fact that you found another fan out in Ohio, which I was just super surprised by. I can't believe it.
Well, I know, Joe. It's a little odd being kind of an internet sensation like this, but... Yeah, I'm out there in Ohio. I'm on the East Coast or the Eastern time zone. And lo and behold, I go to church and there is someone who listened to our podcast with his whole family.
I knew it.
Way to church. And he was loving it. We had a great time.
That's great. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we have now more than one fan. So I want our fan to know that he is valued and appreciated, but I also want to know he's not alone. Like, there is a remnant out there that is being that is known.
There's another fan, the other fan. There's the fan
other.
And the other fan.
But
God is good. God is good. Okay.
Joe, from what I understand, we've got fan mail kind of rolling in now.
Yeah,
is that
true?
Is there like another fan out there, or is the other fan the same one who kind of emailed in?
No, we have an Ohio fan, we have a Washington fan, and now, brother, we have a Pennsylvania fan.
Oh, come on.
It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. So it's like, it's fandom. It's crazy. It's fandom all over the place, And what I'm super excited about is that it's men who are writing in, they're saying, homeschool dads, We are Homeschool Dads. Homeschool Dads Unite. We want to hear about the. We want to hear about these topics. We want you to answer these questions. And so we have talked about it, and we will not leave these homeschool dads alone. We will absolutely discuss this in episode 10. In episode 10, we will answer these questions that we're getting. So you know what? Right now we're recording episode 9. So if you have a question that you are concerned about maybe possibly getting in, you better get it in before we record episode 10, and it will be there. And maybe we can go coast to coast. Coast to coast. Can we get all the way to New York? Can we get Florida? Come on. Come on. I think we can do it. I think we can do it.
Right? I think we can do it.
Come on.
I mean, this is a milestone. Episode 10.
We keep moving east.
We're breaking double digits.
Yeah. No, this is good. This is good stuff.
We'll keep going east. Hey, it's time to hey, there's homeschool dads out in Europe. Maybe we'll just cross the pond and just keep going east.
I'm fine with that. Yeah? I think the homeschooling should go global. Go global.
Yeah, absolutely. The reformation of homeschooling dads is going global, and we're leading the charge. The banner is here, and we, you know, if you are listening, get your question in. We are going to do a fan mail episode with our next recording. This is going to be
on the tens. On the tens, fan mail recording. We may do it more frequent than that, but on the tens, that's what we're looking for. Okay? All right? That's how it happened.
Oh, so. I love that. I love that.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So, hey, man, let's get into some of these ideas and concepts that we've been talking about a little bit. I know we haven't talked about our worst week excuses or kid theology for quite a while. So, dude, let's get into this because some of these things I really want to hear about what's been going on in your family. So, without any further ado, let's get right into it. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, break it down. Worst week excuses.
Brother, I had a terrible, terrible excuse that came my way very recently. So my family, you know, we're trying to like get a certain amount of schoolwork done, and we're trying to get through the rest of our day, and we're kind of on a schedule, like a pseudo schedule, and wouldn't you know it, in the morning, man, the morning is the most critical time in the day. It kind of like sets your pace for everything you're going to do for the rest of the day, and I have my kids ready. I told them about what I'm expecting them to do, and recently, yep. I told my kids, hey, I want you to get done this by 8 a.m., and it was getting the breakfast done. I want
breakfast
ready.
You're just leading right there, Joe. Sorry to interrupt. You're just leading right there. I mean, that's what a homeschool dad does. You lead, and you're like, be up at 8 a.m., let's make this happen. Good.
Yeah, well, I'm setting standard, I'm setting precedents, and I'm setting expectations, okay? And so 8 a.m. is when we need to have breakfast ready to go, so the rest of the family's already up and everything's already gone. So breakfast is a pretty important meal, in case you were wondering. But this is what happened. Breakfast ended up late. Can you believe it?
Oh, come on. No.
Yeah.
Joe.
The day is about to fall apart. It's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart.
Oh, but, I mean, yeah.
But a lapse like that would not be present without a wonderful excuse, right?
Oh, see,
and here,
silver lining.
Here's our christening.
Silver lining.
Our worst week excuse for the week. Here it is. Dad, I didn't get breakfast out on time because the alarm was broken.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah, he's off the hook.
Yeah.
Obviously, you right at that moment said, well, I should have made breakfast for you.
Strangely enough, almost the exact same excuse that I've used for every boss that I've ever had when I showed up late.
There it is. Now you made it real.
I'm sorry that I didn't show up on time, but my alarm was broken.
Yeah. I had a technical malfunction with the Radio Shack $10 clock that I'm using.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And of course, it's incumbent upon me to make sure that you have a right, proper alarm and yada, 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 yada.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So
I mean,
unfortunately, you
knew that clock was malfunctioning. You probably knew that the night before. It really comes back to you're trying to leave. You have to give tools along with the expectations.
Yeah, so needless to say that the excuse that my alarm is broken is not sufficient to account for your inability to accomplish your task and get breakfast out at 8 a.m. And so that is not acceptable. And bam, you are on the worst week excuses for ReconCast.
I feel like we were just on like the Family Feud and they had like, hey, what are the best excuses you could come up with? And your child just said, alarm is broken. And he goes, alarm broken? Survey says not happening.
I don't think so. That's not making it. So sorry, you're a loser.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's what we had. What about you guys?
Okay, so we have set the stage. We have some players here. We have children who are they're supposed to be going to bed and falling asleep. When it's time for bed, we want the head on the pillows. We want the eyes closed.
Heads
we want them. You know, they should be tucking themselves in. These children are grown. You know, they're young. They're not young children anymore. So certain expectations around that. I've got a daughter there who, her head's on her pillow, and but she can't close her eyes. And we say, why are you still awake? It's time for bed. Because this is, kind of come back in a few different times. And we're ready for that. And you know what? She goes, my blankets aren't on me. Well, I mean, if you want a good excuse around why you can't go to sleep, not having your blankets on has to be one of the best out there. I don't know. I mean, to me, it said, obviously, I mean, there's nothing you can do to solve that.
Dad, what did you do? Did you not put the blankets on right?
Well, I mean, I didn't. No, I actually didn't put them on at all. That was the problem.
And you want and you think that that's extreme?
I know. I don't even know why I brought this up. Obviously, this was a good excuse, right?
I mean, does it qualify?
I know. I'm going to try a way to honor my parents. I can honor my parents by going to bed on time when I'm told to, unless my blankets don't magically and mysteriously just kind of crawl up on me by themselves. If I actually have to reach down to the bottom of the bed to grab the blankets and put them on myself, I'm not going to be able to go to bed.
Yeah. And so therefore, Dad, I can't go to sleep.
So survey says I can't go to sleep because I don't have my blankets on me.
Not going to work. Nope. Congratulations, child. You just made the worst week excuses. All right. All right. So next most important thing that we need to talk about here is, aside from these excuses, I do get some actual legitimate questions, some great questions from the family. And it usually happens during family worship or, even occasionally my wife will just say, hey, guess what? So-and-so just came up to me and they asked a question about this. And so this is the deal. This is the deal, Dan. My family has been watching a couple of documentaries about like some natural kind of phenomenon. And something they've been watching recently is about natural disasters. Apparently, there's a pretty cool video about natural disasters on Netflix. If you have Netflix, you can see it there. So there's like floods and tsunamis and hurricanes and all that stuff. Anyways, but the one that stood out in my kid's mind that was watching this was volcanoes. For some reason, volcanoes stood out in everybody's mind. And they're really trumpeting how terrible the destruction of volcanoes is. And I understand that volcanoes are very destructive. There's a lot of really bad stuff. And I mean, hey,
catastrophic.
We live out in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And guess what we live around? A bunch of volcanoes, right?
A bunch.
Mount St. Helens. Hello. Mount Baker. Mount Rainier. Right in our backyard, So this is a big deal for us. But and my kids know this. They're like, hey, they can see a volcano, not that far away. So they see this video about natural disasters and they say, Dad, it's all about all these volcanoes exploding. And they're like, Dad, why does God make volcanoes explode? And I was like, wow, you know, this is tough, you know, like, and I think they're asking these questions because they see all this carnage and all this devastation that's happening. You know, people are dying and stuff from these terrible disasters.
Yeah.
And what they really want to know, what they're really asking is the next question is like, you know, like these people are dying, Dad, in these volcano explosions, you know, and I think they're talking about a lot of old volcanoes and stuff that happened, you know, Vesuvius and things like that. And they're saying, but all these people died in all this, and like, and does he love people more than volcano eruptions? And you know, like, I'm trying
wow.
to explain to my kids, like,
wow.
I'm trying to explain to them, like, okay, our God, our Lord, is sovereign. He is in control of everything that happens, honey. Everything.
Everything.
And even the bad stuff. Even the bad stuff. And I think that's where it really comes down. You know, that's the tough part. You know, that's the tough, is that, like, people are dying and there's something that's happening here. But he loves his people. And my kids are like, but he loves people. He loves, you know, his creation, the height of his creation that he's made. We're talking about all these things, like, why, Dad? Why is he judging all these people? And that's basically what I have to end up telling you. Is that, like, honey, listen, God has made himself so clearly known that even creation testifies to his presence. And yes, I know that he loves his people, but he has given every person an opportunity to know and repent for the way that they behave over his character, which is manifestly shown in creation. And so it seems sad that he is judging people. That's really what's happening here in volcanoes, is that judgment is occurring. So I'm sorry, honey, you know, but that's how God is. He does judge, he does have standards, and he is going to cause calamity in our eyes. But ultimately, like Romans 8:28 says, is that all things work out for the glory of God, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. So all things work out for good. And that's the really important thing that I want my kids to know. So volcanoes, heart of God's good, heart of God's glory, and it works out. That's the point.
Amen.
So, woo! So, man, tough volcanoes.
Tough questions. Tough questions. But great answers. That's a question that actually a lot of our country should be asking. We've had a lot of natural disasters, and they don't ask that question. They're afraid to ask if God is involved in this or not. So, man, way to go. Way to go, kids. That's a great question. Okay, so my kid theology. One of the unique things about our trip in Ohio was the fact that for the second half of the time that we were there, we stayed in a Catholic church rectory. That is a...
I don't even know what a rectory is. Can you just, like, really quickly explain to me? Because I don't even know what that means.
Well, for our fans who are in Ohio and Pennsylvania, I just want to...
Three of them. There's three. There's three fans right now. Fandom.
Yeah. So a rectory is a home that the Catholic Church builds for the priest. And it's on the same property. It's right next to the church. And the priest will be there. They'll entertain guests at the house. They'll have meals.
It's like a residence.
It's a residence, absolutely.
Okay.
So this particular one, the priest was had just moved to a different rectory, so it was available. And it is a very strong community out there. Everyone kind of knows each other. And so they knew that we were looking for a place to stay that could be in a residence rather than in a extended stay hotel. And so they made it available for us. Now, something that happens at these churches out in Ohio, it was farm country. It was established there by German Catholics back about 200 plus years ago, almost 300 years ago. The deal is every church has a graveyard behind the church. Well, you know, out here in the West, those graveyards, you know, you don't, you just show up for the funeral and yeah. the hole is already dug, and you have this the procession. Well, when you live at the graveyard, when you wake up at in the morning, there is a call him a grave digger. I mean, there's the guy out there with the backhoe at 9 in the morning, and he's digging the hole. And then, it sits there for a little while, and then all of a sudden, cars start pulling up into the church parking lot, and then they have their procession, and then they bury them, and they cover it with the dirt. And now there's a mound of dirt with flowers on top in what is essentially our backyard.
Yeah.
And our children watching all of this from the window. just imagine the questions that a 9 and a 7 and a 5 and a 3-year-old are going to have.
Why are they digging a hole in the backyard?
I mean, it was unbelievable. All these people? Hundreds of questions just rattled off. I mean, you could have kid theology for a lifetime. But the
are we burying people?
Exactly. What happens? And they know about the resurrection. I mean, this is where you're wow, there's some output here. We've been inputting, and now there's some output. This is really cool.
Brother. That's a hallelujah.
I know. We're celebrating. We're like, yes, Lord.
There's a resurrection. Jesus. Praise God for the resurrection.
Yeah. He says, so like our 5-year-old goes, hey, so mom, who will come and wake us up when we die? So they already get the idea that Christians are asleep, right? We sleep until the resurrection. There is some idea about that in the New Testament. But they're just thinking these people are going to sleep in a box 6 feet under. And they're thinking, who's going to wake us up when is Jesus going to come? How do we go through the dirt and get...
I'm impressed that they realize there's an awakening from the dead. That's a testament. That's a good job. Good job.
They're going to usher in the awakening. These kids, they're going to be out there preaching it from the from the rooftops. They live in they're always imagining things. I mean, that's just their imagination was on full tilt here. But the best one was. My 5-year-old looks at my wife and says, Mommy, I just want you to know I'm going to get you a very nice box and I'm going to put a blanket in there to help keep you cozy while you wait for Jesus to come get you. I mean, is that not so sweet and so tender?
Wait.
It's amazing.
So your wife is waiting for Jesus to wake her up, and she needs a nice box, not necessarily a trashy box. My mommy deserves a beautiful box,
yeah,
and a nice warm blanket, and just to wait for Jesus.
Yeah. One of those cozy kind of Costco soft fleece. we're just gonna lay it softly on her. Oh yeah, I mean, it's not like she can take it with her, but. It's the thought that counts.
It's the waiting. She's thinking about the intermediary period. That's good.
Yeah. And our 7-year-old, she's just asking tons of questions about why is the box that shape? Why is it 6 feet under? Why is there a mound of dirt over it? When are they going to get rid of the mound of dirt? Well, one thing I didn't know is actually that dirt just disappears over time. I mean, it eventually settles down.
It settles.
That's down physics, where it's flat, and then they come and put grass over the top. But they're patient. I mean, that's going to sit there for months. And then in the time that we were in that house for just about 5 or 6 weeks, there were 2 funerals.
Two burials. Really?
Oh, yeah, 2 burials. Wow. And there had already been one a few weeks before we showed up. So there were
Yeah, that's a robust community.
And
they have 3 people dying every week. Somebody's dying.
And I'm telling you, this town, it didn't have enough to last much longer. I mean, it was a very small farm community. It had literally, I don't know
if
the demographics have declined in action.
Yeah, I don't think they were at replacement rate. Let's just say that.
Oh,
but they are
a totally separate episode. Praise God for them. Praise God for them. They're dying at a rate that can't be sustained. What a lesson. What a great opportunity.
It is a great. I hadn't even thought about that. It's a great lesson. We're going to have to have episode 12.
Honey, at this rate, they're not going to be able to replace themselves. They are a culture that is dying, okay?
And oh, truly they are. It's a wonderful farm community. I mean, they are so sweet and they're so loving. It's such a kind. And I mean, these funerals had, you know, a few hundred people show up. And they're all from, you know, and these towns are like, there's no more than a few hundred people per town, and they're scattered, you know, out and around. So it was pretty amazing. But yeah, I just love that. I mean, our children, they have their moments. And this was a moment where you're just like cherished. Oh, my wife knows she's going to be taken care of while she's waiting for Jesus to come wake her up.
Well, amen to that. Praise God. Praise God. I think it's great that your children are thinking about this stuff. And isn't it amazing? Like, all these opportunities that we have to discuss all these subjects that, like, man, I'm telling you, these, you know, for other homeschool dads out there and homeschool families, like, these opportunities happen all the time. You know, these questions are going to come up. And we're going to have to think about it. What are we going to say? How are we going to address it? And I think it's important for us to talk about. So, anyway.
Engage
great.
In the
that
moment.
That was great.
Yep. Got to engage in
awesome.
The moment. So, fun.
Cool. All right. Hey, Dan, let's take a break real quick here. And we'll come right back after this quick commercial. We'll get a commercial come up for you. Thanks for joining us here on ReconCast. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us here at ReconCast. This is part of Reconstruction Life, and Reconstruction Life is all about us encouraging families and building family bonds. And what that just means is that dads are involved. Me and Dan here on talking about as homeschool dads about the things that we're facing with as far as wives are concerned, the stuff that they're thinking about, raising their kids and raising their homes and being a caretaker over the things that are important there in the home. And then even for kids, man, kids, they're learning stuff. They need to be applying the things that they're being taught. All this stuff is part of Reconstruction Life. Us as families gathering together and building our family bonds, which is why we wrote our ebook called Building Family Bonds, 5 Ways You Can Bring Your Family Closer Together. I want everyone to get a chance here to sign up for our ebook and hear about the things that we're talking about here at Reconstruction Life. Super important. I think it's really valuable for everybody to understand and be a part of. So please go to our website, www.reconstructionlife.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get that ebook for free, and you can check us out on YouTube. We just showed up on Facebook, but bam, can you believe it? We're on Facebook. I know, Dan just found out the last week, but no big deal. Anyways, but we're out there, and we're trying to serve you guys. We want you guys to hear about this message, and we really, really, really just want to encourage everybody, okay? We're looking around, and we're seeing that the world is broken around us, but we have not been left without a victory, without a hope, and that hope exists in Jesus Christ and in His Spirit through who empowers us. So, everybody, I want everyone to hear about this message, and I want you to be encouraged. So, join us here. Thanks so much for listening to ReconCast, and keep tuning in. All right? Thanks so much. All right, everybody, we are back here on ReconCast. We're getting ready here for our interview. We interviewed Joel Riles from Dunatos Canine, and man, this was a great interview, and there were so many things that we had to talk about and that we had a discussion with Joel about that it took 2 episodes. So this first episode, we are ending up talking about conflict, godly conflict, and we're talking about the things that families are facing and that the things that men are thinking about. So homeschool dads, here we are. We're uniting. We're going to have a discussion with Joel Riles, and we're going to talk about this stuff. So the big things that we're talking about, and Dan, I think both of us can kind of think about this, is that about transition, brother. We're talking about transitioning from one idea to another, and basically how it relates to our vocation, right? So Joel went through this. Dan, brother, you went through this, where you went through changing from one vocation kind of concept to another and how it relates to our families. That's the big thing that we're talking about here, is that how do we incorporate our work life with our home life? And I think this is something that all of us can kind of relate to, is like, how do we deal with the conflict? How do we deal with this transition that we have to talk about and these work differences, right? So that's what we're going to be going through.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. I mean, when you start to have your heart turned, like in Malachi, it says the hearts of the father will be turned towards the son and the son towards the father. When that starts to happen, there's a moment, a decision, a moment of crisis that has to take place. What is going to give? Are you going to lean into that and start to make choices around your vocation that give you more time with the family? Or are you going to fight against that? And that's conflict. That is being a dad, a Reconstruction Life dad, a dad who's going to be engaged in the family. And, you know, Joel, he was formerly military. And then, you know, but for me, I was in business and I was in a track where I was traveling a lot, meeting a lot of people with a million air miles. That was the circle I was around. That was the direction I was going. And God got my heart and said, hold on, I don't want you to have a million air miles. I want you to have time with the I want you to have a million hours with your family.
And Amen.
That pivot really set me spinning for a little while until I landed, and God and the Spirit landed and guided me. And every dad's going to have that moment. And if you're on that journey, lean into it. Don't be afraid of it. God is going to care for you and lead you in that and give you wisdom in it.
Amen. I love that. I love the way you brought that together. So, absolutely. So here we go. We got our interview here with Joel Riles. I hope you got you all are blessed by it. So, Mr. Riles here, he's a homeschool father. He's the owner and head trainer at Dunatos Canine. He's a former Army soldier, and he's currently working to advance his kingdom, working to advance God's kingdom with his family. So you guys all enjoy this interview coming up. So we're at the Father-Son Retreat, and we're out here in beautiful Fraser, Colorado. This has been a really, really awesome, amazing retreat, and we just got done having an amazing amount of instruction about the relationship between fathers and sons. And something that's very important for us here at Reconcast, in association with Reconstruction Life, is the fact that we are constantly encountering a broken world, a world that is not functioning the way that it's supposed to. And so we end up in these situations, in these environments, where we're having to make choices and make decisions about situations that are not necessarily ideal. So what we're learning about, and something that we talked about this evening, is about being men and training future men for conflict, inevitable conflict.
Absolutely.
So when men are in a position, or young men are in a position where they're trying to learn how to be self-controlled, and we want our sons to be self-controlled, but guess what? Not every single man out there is necessarily self-controlled. Yep. So one of the speakers that we had here is Mr. Joel Riles, and I've asked him to join us here on this podcast. So he's here, and I think that, sir, you have a little bit of information, or at least some wisdom, about dealing with undisciplined, selfish men, right?
Does that sound right? Yes, we've had a little bit of experience with that.
Yeah. So you're a father, and you've got your sons, a couple of your boys here, and you're kind of a prior active duty guy. You served.
I am.
You served. Who did you serve with?
So I was with the Army military police officer, active duty for 12 years, and total, including National Guard and reserve time, about 15 years in the Army.
Great. And you also are a husband and a father. You have how many children do you have?
Absolutely. So I've been married for 16 years. We have 8 children. And so I have 4 boys and 4 girls, ranging from 15 years down to about 18 months old.
Right. Okay. That's great. So we're talking about here about raising our sons to be able to enter into this conflict of the world that's broken.
Absolutely.
And being in situations with other men who are not exhibiting self-control. So yes. So did you kind of see that situation, and how did that kind of spur your efforts when you left the military and what you're working on right now?
Absolutely. So we were kind of in a similar situation as yourself as we were moving through the military. I was getting this vision from Generations and some other places about the idea of, you know, dedicating yourself to getting home, dedicating yourself to working with your children and primarily your sons in businesses and things of that nature. And so we started leaning forward while I was on active duty to trying to get set up with some kind of a business. So, we were dealing with people who, in the military, you got, cuss words flying every other word. Sure. You got guys who are running around, sleeping around with everybody that they can. You got barrack situations where there's females and males in the barracks and trying to, as a commander of a company, trying to deal with those situations. And then in the process, we've got our children that we're trying to raise to be godly, to love the ways of God. And so how do you kind of work in that environment? And it really has been a blessing to be able to point out some of those things to our children. Obviously, they're not, seeing a lot of the graphic stuff, but they hear the stories when we come home and I'm talking to my wife, and being able to explain to them the situations that arise in this world and how do we handle those as Christians. What does the Word of God have to say about that? And as we got working with the dogs, we realized one of our mottos is the dog reflects the handler. And what we find more and more the longer we work these creatures is that dogs in general reflect mankind in general. And as we start to look at their character and the way that they respond to correction or the way that they need to be corrected, we realize that much of the way we have to deal with the dogs is very similar to how God has to deal with us.
Sure.
And using those character qualities to try and raise children that will love and honor God in the process.
Yeah. So you were in the situation where I think it seems like you were trying to connect some of the experience and talents that you had, at least that you had that the military had helped
right.
train you with, and you're pairing it with these ideas that men like Kevin Swanson and Scott Brown,
yes.
and these other guys are talking about when they are doing their radio programs.
That's right.
And all these other ideas, and you're trying to put these two ideas together,
like. What? Being in the military for 12 years, I've had a lot of young men come and say, hey, and these are young men in churches that have been homeschooled often and things of that nature. And they're starting to hit 16, 17, 18 years old. And they're like, hey, what do you think about going into the military? And I've had to routinely tell them.
That's a tough question.
I say the only way I can recommend you go into the military is if you have some really specific goal that you're trying to accomplish by going into the military. And if you're willing to stand completely alone. And have no friends there.
Yeah.
Because if you go into the military looking for friends or looking to blend in or looking to be part of the quote-unquote team, you will inevitably end up living the lifestyle that all the other soldiers that are there live. And it's a heathen, godless lifestyle.
Yeah.
And not that there aren't the pearls in the rough throughout the service as you move around, but by and large, it's a very ungodly place to be. And so as a whole, I've had to discourage young men from going into the military, but I've seen over the years this desire for these young men to learn things that it seems like the only place you can learn them is in the military.
Right.
Things like self-defense, things like developing a warrior mindset, things like, how do I develop a manly attitude toward defense and fighting and all these other sorts of things,
right.
which can be good or can be bad depending on how they're focused, but are natural manly tendencies. Mm-hmm. And so as we've worked with the dogs and we've developed other things, the Lord has just brought along these young men from time to time that have come and lived with us. And it's been an opportunity for us to say, this is how a godly man can develop these kind of skills without necessarily placing yourself in the danger of having to go into active duty military or something of that nature.
Right, and committing yourself to something that maybe you have absolutely zero control.
That's right. And that more and more is becoming even worse, if you could imagine that, than it's
right.
been in the past with the forcing of the homosexual lifestyle on the military,
right.
The forcing of women into leadership positions,
mm-hmm.
Which not all men are good leaders either. But, you just create more and more and more problems as you try and conform the military to the worst aspects of our culture.
Yeah, and that's not even including the constant presence that we have to maintain, it seems, on every single hotbedded area all across the world, numerous yes. deployments. It's going to be really, really difficult for you to raise a family. It's something that I experienced. You know, I had to go on deployment a couple times, and I noticed all these relationships that are super important to me
right.
are fracturing.
They suffer.
Yeah, they suffer. And then and that's even from a Christian perspective, we're suffering. But you talk about the heathens, the secular guys. I mean, they're doing terrible. The divorce yeah, rates are through the roof.
Terrible.
You know, way yeah. outside of even the normal standard societal ones.
Right.
You know, so it's just a really, really tough tough place.
Yeah. Well, and you know, a friend of mine, he had a bad situation. Their house actually burnt down, and they came. We as soon as we found out, we said, "You guys are coming over here tonight. You're going to have dinner. At the very least, you'll have a meal and stuff like that." And when they got there, they opened the door, and the very first thing he said to me was, "If you're going to ask God for something, be really specific." And so, you know, we got him in the house and we got everything set up where they got dry clothes and everything again. And so I asked him, what do you mean by that? Hmm. And he said, "Well, we've been asking the Lord for a change in our life."
Oh.
And he burnt our house down.
Oh, no.
And you know, now ultimately in the long run, it's tended to be a blessing for them.
Yeah.
But those words that he said, and they were very wise words because he said, "I was not specific in how I asked for the Lord to give us something different in our life." And they've reverberated in my mind numerous times because we did something very similar with the military is, "Lord, I want a lifestyle where I can work alongside my children. I can work alongside my wife. We can all co-labor together as a family to develop something." And so what did he do? He deployed me four times. And as soon as I came back from my fourth deployment, within 4 months, they were telling me I was going to Kuwait for another year.
Oh, no.
And that was kind of the last straw for us. You know, we said, "I totally appreciate and understand the needs of the Army. They got certain things they got to get done. But at this point, the needs of the Army and the needs of our family have gotten so far apart
right.
that they're no longer compatible."
Right.
And the Lord essentially, I mean, from our perspective, booted us out. You know, we were left with no other choice. Either I could choose the Army and that lifestyle and lose my family, or I could leave that lifestyle and I could retain my family. And so it was one of those situations where, in hindsight, you look back and say, that was a huge blessing. But at the time, you're going, "Wow, this is really scary because we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know how we're going to feed the family. But I know I have no other choice if I'm going to preserve the you know, relationship between myself and especially my older children," because right. that's where we were seeing it really suffer the most during the final deployments, was they were recognized and Dad was gone for 6 months or a year.
Right.
And even though you get on Skype and you call and you do all these other things, Dad is, you know, that's, I'm there an hour a day and gone 23 hours a day. And I'm not even there when I'm there, but right. You know, there's a little bit of a connection, but it's very minimal. And you come home and you see a huge gap has developed during your time of being absent. And it was just one of those things that was the Lord truly laid on our heart that you cannot do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, a situation like the Israelites in Egypt or anything like that. It was just on a very personal scale of you will lose your children if you keep doing this.
Yeah.
And so we just committed. We said, you know what, there are people that can do this, but we are not one of them. And the Lord has made it very clear in our lives that we need to move on. And so it's been bouncing around like crazy for the last 4 or 5 years, but with this constant push toward this one objective, which is, for whatever reason, something the Lord laid on my heart is something that we just love in terms of, you know, beside the people we love and the church that we love and things of that nature, is working with the dogs has been something that's had a constant draw on our heart and it's connected with our family. And so I'm like, the Lord's laid it on our heart to do this. The dog world is a place that's steeped in evolution. The thought process of 99% of the philosophies and everything else is based in these evolutionary concepts.
Right.
And it needs a biblical Christian influence.
Yeah.
And the Lord's given us an ability, and so we're going to honor and glorify Him in doing this.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's awesome. I mean, I think it's valuable. It's important. I think it's something that a lot of these men have been talking about, is that, you know, we are perceiving the society, perceiving the situation, and like like we had said when we started, seeing this broken world and realizing, no, these areas need to be brought under the dominion of Christ.
That's right.
And we need to reclaim this. We need to reconstruct this particular area. So
right.
I think what you're talking about with the family and having to get out and having to pull out, it's kind of in a way like measuring the cost.
Yes.
And the cost is too high.
Well, I'll tell you, my heart was literally ripped in two on numerous occasions when I've heard Kevin say something very similar to what he said in there tonight, which was, the scripture verse that it says, what would you pay essentially for your own soul? What is the cost you'd be willing to pay to save your own soul? And when you convert that to what is the cost you would pay for your children's soul? And if the answer is not I'd pay everything, then you probably really don't love your children.
Right.
But to say I'd do anything begs the question, well, what are you going to do right now then?
Well, what are you doing?
That's right. I think Scott said, inspiration without execution is delusion. There you go. And that really struck me tonight too. That's a really succinct way of putting it. And because we can have all of these great ideas about I'm willing to do anything to save the hearts of my children, to earn, to win the hearts of my children and keep it, and to be able to direct those children to the Lord. But if that statement, that feeling, that emotion that drives up in us sometimes when we come to an event like this doesn't translate into action, then it's of no value.
Right.
And it's hard and it's scary. And it's not scary in the sense that, you go to combat and that can be kind of scary because people are shooting at you. But it's scary in the sense that I've got, if we've got 8 children and a wife, I've got 9 mouths other than myself to feed. I got to put a roof over their head. I got to make sure they have clothes. And to be perfectly honest with you, I have no idea how we've done it. It is totally the Lord has brought this up. There have been times when we tried real estate for about a year.
Uh-huh.
Love the folks that I was working with, but it was 90 hours a week of making almost nothing for a year. And I truly look back on that time and go, I don't know how we survived.
Wow.
I don't know how we ate every day and how we paid our rent and all these other things. But even in the midst of that, right at the end of that year mark, a dog sale came up. And I'm like, here's the Lord pulling us in that direction again.
Yeah.
And so I tried to go with the sheriff's office, and I realized as much as I respect law enforcement officers, I worked with them for a number of years, there is a huge pressure in that environment to violate people's constitutional rights, to do things that, from my opinion, from a freedom-loving, biblical Christian who also believes the Constitution is the ruling, law of our land,
right,
second only to the Scriptures, is there's a push to constantly violate those things. And it's not that there's bad people. It's just that the whole system has built itself up around these ideals and mentality.
Exactly.
And so we had to walk away from that.
Yep.
And, it's been one of these situations where, and I would encourage men to be men of principle, because it's been one of these situations where over and over and over again, on principle, we've had to walk away from things. I cannot do this any longer. This is violating my conscience, and I can either stay here and sear my conscience to these things, or I can walk away from it.
Yeah.
And the Lord has blessed it every time. It's mm-hmm. been scary. It's been hard. There's been times when you're like, don't know where the next mortgage payment is coming from, but yeah, I'm going to keep working really hard and trust that the Lord's going to bring it along. And every time the Lord has provided and blessed us, and I'm not saying it would be exactly the same for every single person that does it, but I know having gone through it at this point, and of course we're still kind of in process,
sure,
but I would encourage men to not make foolish decisions, but to count the cost and make bold decisions for Christ with the objective in mind that they're doing it for their wife, their children, their legacy, and it's got to all be for the honor and glory of God. And if it's not, you're wasting your time. But if you are going to do it, then actually step up and do it and do something.
All right, everybody, welcome back to ReconCast here. We're back here from the interview with Joel Riles. So, fantastic time that we had here with Joel. And I know we cut you short, there on the first half of the interview. But we want to just kind of encapsulate some of that stuff there before we move on to the rest of the interview. So I thought there was some really important stuff there, Dan, that we could talk about, that we could glean from and think about. But I just want to hear from you, like, what was the thing that kind of just you took away and thought about, man, this is something inspirational that I can take back home.
Right. Yeah, there is one. The one thing that kind of stood out to me that I've been really thinking about is the quote that he referenced. I believe Scott Brown. He said, "Inspiration without execution is delusion." And I think so often we try to find that next speaker who's going to inspire us, and we're being inspired, we're being edified and encouraged in so many things around what we should be doing. Even this podcast, we're trying to encourage dads to engage and be homeschool dads and be, you know, taking back the culture and be a presence in their children's lives and bring the gospel to bear. We're inspiring them, I hope. But without execution, it's just delusion. And what an important message for us. If we are wanting to change our society, change our culture, change our family direction, we have got to find ways to execute. And I was just really blessed by that, challenged tremendously. But as I've meditated on that and thought about it, just to talk about it with my wife about how do we execute, what is important? Let's find those one or two or three things that we really want to execute well on, get after it. And then that enables great experiences. If we're able to, so I changed that to say inspiration with execution enables great experiences. And those are things that we want for our children, for our families, for ourselves. So that quote has stood out to me. But so much of what Joel said, what an encouragement. What a blessing.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought there was so much stuff there that he was taking, from the leadership and the vision from other men. And he's taking those ideas and he's applying them to something that he is uniquely gifted with. So he's thinking about how does this apply to what can I do and what have I been trained in? How has the Lord been using my gifts in advancing his kingdom and furthering this cause that he's given me and with the talents that he has? So I was super inspired by that. And I thought that quote that he used from Scott Brown was great. Inspiration without execution is delusion. So, brother, you and I, that's something we need to be thinking about. Let's go ahead and let's execute.
Every day. Execute just a little bit more, just a little bit more today than yesterday, and we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, let's keep working on it. Let's keep advancing our families. Let's keep trying to get better, brother. I want to get better. I want to be a better dad.
Amen.
I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better representative in my church. I want to be a better voter. All that stuff.
Absolutely.
I think there's so much stuff, so many areas that we can talk about in those areas. So the thing that really hit me, though, that I wanted to bring back from was what are you willing to sacrifice and the cost that you would give for your own soul? The whole idea, would you give the world to save your soul? And just like the way kind of Joel said it, like the question is kind of rhetorical in a sense that, that the question in some sense answers itself. Like, of course you would give anything, right, to save your soul. And then the question then becomes, well, what are you giving,
right,
to work for? And then it even gets compounded when you talk about your family, like what cost are you willing to pay for your family and their souls, and
wow,
man, this is a tough one. This is hard because then now we're really bringing it home. We're really bringing it home and seeing, hey, man, what am I doing as a dad to really count the cost and say I am sacrificing and I am putting the training of my children above my success in business and the discipleship of my wife over my own personal satisfaction. That a lot of those ideas about loving your neighbor as yourself those thoughts, those ideas, they just bring to your mind, what am I doing? And that's kind of something that I thought about. And the whole Father-Son retreat really kind of anchored on that point. It's like, hey, guys, You love your wives. You love your children. You know what we do know? We know you love yourself, because that's just kind of a given. So why don't you love them like you love you and pour into them? Pour into
them.
You know, teach them, train them, give them the things that they need to know. Don't leave them in the dark. Don't leave them in ignorance, and give them the time that they deserve. And that's kind of the thing that I was thinking about. So,
yeah, I mean, brother, that is so our calling, isn't it? To give up our life, and that is a journey. I mean, it is hard to give up your ambitions, your goals, but when you realize that this is the family God has chosen for you from before time, if we believe He's sovereign and providential and at work, this is the family He gave you to lead, to minister to serve. And that is the calling. That is the joy that you will be received more joy from that than any ambition that you may have hoped to have achieved, outside the family. That makes it real.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this is the kind of thing I'm thinking about. I want to be, like he said, I want to be a man of principle. You know, I want to be bold for Christ and for His kingdom. And that doesn't mean I have to be screaming on the rooftops, but that means that I do need to be principled, and I do need to be able to take a stand. So,
amen.
Anyway, so, man, it was great. It was great. And this is why I think we need two episodes to get this interview done. So
break it up into two. We can only choose so much meat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was milk, I'd say pour it on, but we got
yeah, just chug it.
I mean, I'm still chewing. I need to chew that like 500 times, and then maybe I'm ready for them in the next bite.
It'd be great. And the good news is that the next episode that we have coming for you, we're going to be bringing the fan mail, brother.
Fan mail on the tens.
And we got some great questions, super awesome questions for everybody coming up on episode 10. So,
but Joe, we don't have enough questions. We don't have all the questions. We need more questions from our fans.
That's true. And I know of that other fan that's in the Pacific Northwest that he has not asked a question yet. And so, brother, I'm looking for you. Send that question in and we will answer it. But you need to be quick. Get it in there fast, or else it's going to be missed. We're going to be back next week and we're recording again. And we want to hear from you. And we want to get to another fan somewhere out there on the East Coast, Massachusetts, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. I don't know where you are. You're out there somewhere. We want to hear from you, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's on ReconstructionLife.com or whether you just email me. Email me at ExtremeDad@ReconstructionLife.com. I don't care. I want to hear from you. We're going to answer this question.
It's admin@ReconstructionLife.com. I mean, that's a great way.
Yeah, or ExtremeDad@ReconstructionLife.com. Or you know what? Dan, you have an email address too.
Dan@ReconstructionLife.com.
You can email Dan direct, okay? All right?
Yep.
Dan wants to hear your question.
I need your question.
It's coming up. It's coming up. All right, sweet. So, man, thanks so much, everybody, for joining us today on ReconCast Episode 9. It was such a blast. We loved having you guys here, and I hope you guys are blessed and enjoy listening here along with us. All right?
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Great being with you. Thanks, everybody.
Cool. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ReconCast. Don't forget to visit ReconstructionLife.com and ReconstructionistRadio.com.